being filled with the Spirit. This is one of those kind of messages and those studies that you want to do at least once every couple of months. Because there is so much to the Holy Spirit of God. There is no excuse why an Old Testament Jew did not understand and did not believe in the Holy Spirit. Because from verse 3 in their Bible, it says, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep." The point is, the Spirit of God has been at work throughout the entire Old Testament. Even throughout your life before you were ever saved, the Holy Spirit was working on you. Amen. And there is an attitude today that is a bit extreme, a lot extreme, where they emphasize and they worship the Holy Spirit and they focus on the Holy Spirit when you're not supposed to do that. And so they get out of balance. There is the out of balance Jew that never acknowledged the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then you have those churches that only acknowledge the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, I'm trying to give you a biblical pattern for the place and the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Please bless, Lord, as we study. Lord, a lot of verses, just help us to see the ones that will help us. Help us, God. It must. We cannot live in the flesh. Not successfully. If we live in the flesh, we will reap corruption. But if we live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, we will reap life everlasting in this realm, in this life. I don't want to just wait till heaven before I enjoy eternal life. God, let me enjoy and reap eternal life now. I know I'm saved, but I want to enjoy it. And it is only when I'm full of the Holy Ghost of God. So bless us, we open your word, open our eyes and our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Ephesians 5:18. Let's look at the verse. It's just a simple verse. Two commands. The first command says this: "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." What am I to reject first, Brother Leo? What am I first to reject? Drink. End of story. And not just, well, I don't drink hard stuff. I just drink a few, you know, rock shandies with a little alcohol in it. Don't even touch it. Don't even look at it, the Bible says in Proverbs. So I reject one thing so that I get something else. Amen? Is the point. Be not drunk with wine. What happens when you take your first sip? If you're not a drinker, that first sip will put you over the top. You don't have to drink a gallon of alcoholic beverage for you to get drunk. All you need to do is start it, and it begins to affect you. It begins to remove the sobriety from you. So the Bible says, you know, when you start to sample the drink, it will take over you. So be not drunk with wine, that's being filled with the wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you know when you start to walk in the Spirit, you know one of the ways you know you're walking in the Spirit? You got to get more. Do you know how you know you're drunk? Do you know how you know you're addicted to alcohol? You can't live without it. You know how you know you're saved? You can't live without Him. So, I want to focus on getting filled and staying filled with the Spirit. Like it says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled. Right now, Craig Ledbetter ought to be filled with the Spirit. An hour from now, Craig Ledbetter ought to still be filled with the Spirit. Amen? I should be filled with the Spirit. I should not get filled only to lose it and not have anything for a week, and the next week get filled again. That is hypocrisy. Now, just by way of introduction, just a drop of anything is actually nothing. You ever heard anybody say, "I'd like just a drop of milk"? They're lying. They want a glob. But they say a drop of milk. So what I do, I love doing it, I go out, put bing. And I go, no, a little more than that. Listen, a drop of something is nothing, amen? If I ask for a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, I don't want a little demi-tasse. I don't want a little bitty thimble. I want a mug, amen? You ever notice that? I hate going to restaurants where they give you this little thing and they call it a cup of coffee and they charge you €2.25 for it. I want something that's full, amen? You ever gotten a cup of coffee and it's half full? You ever gotten a box of cereal open up, it's half empty? You know what I'm talking about. When you buy a box, this huge box of cereal, you know, mega size, you open it up, it's half full. That's wrong, amen? You expected it to be full, right? All right. Just a drop of anything is actually nothing. I don't want a bite of a sandwich. I want something filled. I want to eat. Amen. I don't want an empty church. I want a church that is filled. Amen. I like preaching to people, not pews. Amen. I don't want a sprinkling of God's blessings. I want God's blessings in their fullness, and I want them overflowing. And folks, I don't want a bit of forgiveness. I'm so glad that God gave me a kind of forgiveness that is full and more than abundant. You see, when God does things, He does them to their fullness. So when we talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit, we've got to get out of, well, I just want a bit. Well, I just want a little bit. I like a taste. How about getting this thing? No, let me have it all. This is one place where you can get everything in its fullness. Amen. Now turn it around. That's all to say this. God doesn't want just a bit of you and me. Do you understand what I'm saying now? I don't like it when I get... Can you imagine if Kathy fixed Nita and I at dinner and she set this huge plate down? It's got steak, mashed potatoes, green beans. I know you haven't had one of those in a while. And it's covered in gravy. And you're there. And you take your first bite. She says, okay, that's enough. I'd get in the flesh real quick. Amen. I want the whole thing. Amen. Well, sure, that's natural, because when God got you, He didn't want just a bit of you. Amen. He wanted to fill you, right? This is so important for the Christian to realize that God didn't want your Sundays. He wants your every days. Amen. He doesn't want your perfectness. He wants your emptiness. He doesn't want the times when you feel like praying. He wants all of you. Amen. He wants to fill us. Yet too many of us make no room for Him in our thoughts, in our time, and especially in our wallet, by the way. I'll give you a bit of an offering. You know, He doesn't want your offering. He wants you. And if He's got you, He's got your wallet. Amen? Amen. So let's learn tonight about being filled with God's precious Holy Spirit. First of all, I've got to say, as I usually do, because people don't really think about these things, but there are many different spirits. The first group are what the Bible calls unclean spirits. When it says unclean, it doesn't mean like unwashed hands. You know, when your kids come in and they've been playing in the dirt, you don't go unclean, unclean, even though their hands are unclean. In the Bible, it talks about unclean, it meant unholy. So there are unholy spirits. Let's go to Leviticus 19, go through some scriptures here. Nita, would you read Leviticus 19 and 31? And I'm just going to look at a few of them. I've got a dozen of them, but we're just going to look at a few. Leviticus 19 and 31, an unholy spirit. Let's look at one of them. And and I've talked to them about it before when we were going through 1 John, but this is foundational. Go ahead. 19:31.
Regard not them that have the murderous spirits, neither seek after widows to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God.
So a familiar spirit. How many have a familiar friend? Do you know what a familiar friend is? It's somebody that you're familiar with. Do you know what an unclean spirit is? It's these tarot card readers, it's these people that have a familiar demon that they talk to in order to try to tell your future. That's what a familiar spirit is. Nobody should have an angel or a spirit that you're familiar with. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that is an unclean, an unholy spirit. Well, my angel guides me. Your angel. Your angel. That is a familiar spirit that you're comfortable with. You better run. You better plead the blood of Jesus Christ. That is a demon. No angel tries to guide you. The Holy Spirit will guide you, not an angel. Let's go to look at another one. Oh, let's see. In the same area. Numbers. Well, no, forget that. We got too many. I have too many. Let's go to 1 John. This is going to be all over, but I'll take my time here. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 3. Kathy, 1 John 4 and verse 3.
And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist.
Wow. Go ahead.
Whereof we have heard that it sound that. Yeah. Wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world.
Now what already is in the world? The spirit of the Antichrist. So, not everybody that claims to be Christian and claims to be of God is of God. Especially those that claim that, well, Jesus, we're not sure if he really was the Son of God. Oh, you're the spirit of the Antichrist. That's an unholy spirit. And they're behind the pulpit. I was talking to somebody yesterday. I met a vicar there. I think you were with me. And that fake and fraud and hypocrite and wicked man was sitting there saying, we don't know that Jesus was the Son of God. I said, have you told your people that you're a Bible rejecter? Do your people know that you reject what the Bible says? All of a sudden we found out he was not filled with the Spirit. And he says, get off of my property. Get out of here before I get really mad. He was the spirit of Antichrist. It's an unholy spirit. You don't want to mess with that spirit. Amen. There are unclean spirits. There are satanic spirits. There are spirits of divination. Oh yeah, you can tell the future. You can actually get in contact and become a conduit or a what do they call them, where they channeler of spirits. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. Second Timothy 1, 7, Brother Dan.
For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
So if you're in a spirit of fear, where'd you get that from? Got it from the devil, man. It's an unholy spirit. We call it, the modern world calls it paranoia. But it's demonic. There is unholy spirits in the world. There in the Bible, there's the spirit of anger, the spirit of revenge, there's spirit of jealousy, the spirit of disobedience, spirit of heaviness, the spirit of whoredom. These are unclean spirits, and they actually take on the shape of a bad attitude. We blame it. I have a bad attitude today. Oh, yeah. Let's call it what it is. Unholy spirit. Dominating your thoughts. Be careful. Let me make a statement here. Be careful that your wounded spirit and your offended spirit and your broken spirit does not become a playground for the devil to fill. Because that's what he does. That's an unclean spirit. Thankfully, there's another spirit. It's called the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit in the Bible is called an excellent spirit. Oh, that's good. He's called in Proverbs 11:13. He's called the faithful spirit. In the life of the Christian, when the Holy Spirit is there, it's called the controlled spirit. Take your Bible. I'll show you this. We don't have time, but I'm going to do it anyway. Proverbs 16:32. Proverbs 16:32. How many ever been in a charismatic meeting where you've been in charismatic churches where somebody stood up, began to get out of control and speak what they thought were in tongues and then fall on the ground? I've been in a meeting where they took off their clothes. I've been in some meetings before I was saved that made me run. You know what the Bible says? The spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. Watch your Bible. Proverbs chapter 16 and 32, Brother Tony.
He that is still trying to better than the right. He that moveth the spirit, that is he that taketh
sin. All right. Should I be out of control, Brother Tony? Nope. I should be under control. The Holy Spirit does not make you fraud at the mouth and wallow and scream and act crazy and call it Christian. The Holy Spirit is under control, is under rule. Amen? All right. I'm just showing you the contrast and where the devil is a liar today and a counterfeiter. There is the Holy Spirit. We are always filled with some spirit. Memorize that. We are always filled with some spirit. What spirit are you known for? What spirit are you known for? What is filling you? Now, many times, the Holy Spirit empowered an individual, especially in the Old Testament. Let's go to Judges 6:34. Dina, Judges 6:34. Let's take a look at some people. Judges 6. in verse 34.
The Spirit of the Lord came with me, and he will accompany me, and he's there was guided after.
All right, now this is one of the most timid, most unlikely leaders you would ever read about. But when the Spirit of God came upon Gideon, he became an instant leader. And people rallied around him. So here is the filling of the Holy Spirit and a transformed life. Amen? And he became a great warrior for God. Judges 11 now, chapter 11, verse 29, Brother Martin, Judges 11, 29. He's about to go into fight, into a battle. Again, he's a judge. He's a leader in Israel, but he was very inadequate. And so the Holy Spirit of God came upon him, and he took off. Amen? The Holy Spirit empowers individuals. Let's go on. Let's look at Judges 14, verse 6. Brother Edberto, Judges 14 and verse 6. Now, this is one of the more popular or the more commonly known times when the Spirit of God would come upon somebody. Let's see what happens when he comes on Samson.
And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he ran him as he would upbraid a people. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what.
Now forgive me, verse 5, if you will. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnah and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. He's challenging Samson. And Samson grabbed him, and the Bible says he ripped him apart. And I'd like to see you do that. But he did it not because he ate his Weetabix. Why did Samson defeat the lion? Spirit of God. Let's look at another one. Still with you, Ediberto. If you don't mind, look at verse 19.
And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ascalon, and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and grief, and gave charms of garments upon him, which expounded the devil, and his anger was
kindled. All right, so he killed 30 Philistines, but it was because of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, what did Samson ultimately think was the source of his power? Remember? I know. That long, flowing, gorgeous hair he had. But notice, we don't have time, but when Delilah cut that hair, it says, in the Spirit of God. It wasn't the hair. It was the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life that always enabled him. Always, always. And if you ever accomplish anything for God, it'll only be because of the Holy Spirit in your life. Not because you have long hair. Let's look at young David. 1 Samuel 16, 13. 1 Samuel, just the next book over. 1 Samuel 16, 18. And Tess, if you don't mind. 16, 13, sorry.
Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah.
Now, up until that point, David has been a shepherd boy. He has taken care of his father's sheep. When he's called in and Samson pours that oil all over David in the midst of his older brothers, at that moment, who is he filled with? The Holy Spirit of God. From that day forward, it enabled him to become King David. It enabled him to live for 7 years on the run, hated and hunted by King Saul. The Spirit of God came into his life. Gideon, Jephthah, Samson, King Saul, young David. There are many others. I won't take the time. But let me just say, God wants to do more than empower you. See, I don't want the Spirit of God so I can walk on water. Okay? That's not the purpose of the Holy Spirit in my life, Brother Dan. The purpose of the Holy Spirit in my life is not necessarily to enable me to preach. That is a byproduct of the Holy Spirit in my life. But I need to not want to preach so I get the Holy Spirit. No, I need to get the Holy Spirit so I do whatever God wants me to do. Okay? It's a bit different than we're normal used to thinking. So, the Holy Spirit, let me say thirdly, the Holy Spirit is always at work on us. You know what He's doing? The work of the Holy Spirit is not blessing you right now. Did you know that? The first work of the Holy Spirit is to humble you, to break you down, to convict you of sin, to make you feel miserable. Amen. You ever been there? How long has it been since you've been there? If it's been a long time since you've been humbled and broken and low, then the Holy Spirit has not been allowed to work. I sometimes grieve, Brother Dan. And I wonder if people in our church get too comfortable just sitting and not ever saying, woe is me. The old time Christians, 150 years ago, when the preaching would go forth, and they used to preach for 3 hours, by the way. Man, you'd hear when men like some of these names that you're not familiar with was John Wesley and George Whitefield and in America, a guy named Jonathan Edwards and people who preached, and the people in the congregation would hear the word of God and they had grown up with it. These are not people who it was new to. These were people who knew it. But when the Holy Spirit of God began to work on their heart, they would grab the pew in front of them or they would grab the chair and they would convulse with fear saying, I'm going to hell. Somebody help me! Right in the middle of the church service, man. Somebody would cry out, he's right. And I mean, a hush would come across that audience. And people would get down on their knees right in the middle of the service and begin to cry out, oh God, I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Oh God, don't let me go another second until I get right. And that's how church was. That was church. It's not that I want any charades and I want anybody acting, but I do desperately want the Spirit of God to be allowed to work. So that tear is let out. And so that heart beating inside becomes a reality when you know you ought to react. It humbles us. The work of the Holy Spirit convicts us. The work of the Holy Spirit enables us. We already talked about that. The work of the Holy Spirit leads us. He says, guides us. But I'll show you a great verse. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 12 now. 1 Chronicles. It's amazing how much of the Holy Spirit is in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles, Brother Joseph, please. Chapter 12 and verse 16. Hold on 1 second. Let everybody get there with you. I apologize. 1 Chronicles, chapter 12, 16, 17, and 18, please. Those three verses. 12, 16, 17, and 18. Okay.
And he came up the children of Benjamin and Judah to the hall of the dead. And David went out to meet them, and answered and said unto them, if ye be come peaceably unto me, help me, my heart shall be content unto you. But if ye come with the chains of my enemies, seeing there is no wrong in my hand, the God of our fathers took up their arm and rebuked them.
Now hold for a second. These men have come from Benjamin, and does David trust them? He says, if you're with me, I'm glad. If you're not, we're going to have a fight. Okay, watch what verse 18 says. Watch this.
Then the Spirit came upon
Amasai,
who was chief of the captains, and he said, thy army, David, and on thy side, shall I
judge thee. Amen.
Peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine efforts. But thy God has to thee.
So the Spirit of God came upon an army and they submitted. They let David win. That is the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. That is the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit takes you and puts you under authority. Never fills you with the desire to take over and to show somebody where you're better or whatever. The Holy Spirit conquers us. Do you understand? Bringing us under submission. He wants more. He wants to do more than any of that. He wants to fill us. Because none of that happens effectively until he has all of us. Now, what would it be like? What would it be like, Brother Dennis, if we were filled with the Holy Spirit for extended periods of time? I know what it's like to be filled with the Holy Spirit for a time. I know the joy. I know the peace. I know the rest. But what if I was filled for an extended period of time? What would we be like? We'd be like Jesus Christ. So, how to get, this is just, I've gotten you down to where I want to go. How to get filled and stay full of the Holy Spirit. This is not going to be long. This is not going to be fast and furious. This is just going to be very practical. How do you get filled and stay with full of the Holy Spirit? First of all, 4 points. Number one, worship the person of Jesus Christ. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't start praying to the Holy Spirit. Did you hear what I just said? Holy Spirit of God, please fill me. Please fill me, Holy Spirit. Please fill me. What are you doing? Wasting your breath. Is the Holy Spirit God? Yes or no? Yes. He is just as much God as the Father, just as much God as the Son. But the Holy Spirit has never been prayed to and never been talked to any more than your telephone gets talked to. You don't pick up the phone and say, oh, great, wonderful telephone. Please convey this message to my wife as I phone her. No, you use the phone to talk to your wife. Amen. And you use the provision of the Holy Spirit to communicate with God the Father. John 16, verse 13. Let me show you.
You say, where'd you get that in the Bible?
Let me show you where we get it in the Bible. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Let's see. Rika. John 16, 13. And verse in the next verse, verse 14. Show it. Shoo is the older way of saying show. It's the same thing. So when the Spirit of Truth is come, he will not speak of who? He seeks no glory. Amen. That is the work of the, now everything that God does is as a pattern. So there's some great truth there, and I don't have time to go into it. But just trust me, he doesn't promote himself. He doesn't speak of himself. Who does he glorify? If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, spend time worshiping and glorifying Jesus Christ. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me, Jesus said. The Holy Spirit didn't say that. God the Father didn't say that. Jesus said that. Lift up Jesus Christ. When you are in your prayer time, worship Jesus Christ. Everybody who ever came to Jesus with a need, what did they all do? They worshiped him. They worshiped him. And he allowed them to. Amen. Worship Jesus Christ. This is fundamental. Stay in love with the person of Jesus Christ. Worship his name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Folks, did you know? Look at 1 Corinthians 6. You're in John. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. And embryo. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20.
Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Yeah, my body and my spirit belong to who? They are God's possession now, aren't they? But this is called a temple, not of God, but it's a temple of, because now, I'm trying to teach it tonight, that God gave the Holy Spirit to you to help you worship God. Amen? God didn't give you the Holy Spirit so you would worship the Holy Spirit. God didn't give you the Holy Spirit so you would worship the gifts. When I was unsaved and in the charismatic movement, I worshiped the gifts. I wanted the gift of tongues. I wanted the gift of healing. That was the worship of the gifts. But my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost that helps me worship Christ. Amen. Do you understand? So, and let me say this. I want to go back for a second. When I asked you this question, I said, what would it be like if we were filled with the Holy Spirit for extended periods of time? Let's look at three verses. Luke 2:40. Luke 2 and verse 40. Sean, would you read that? Luke 2 and verse 40. Speaking of Jesus Christ.
And the child grew and became strong and sterile, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
And it actually said later on there in Colossians, he said, is it Colossians? I can't remember exactly where it says, he, the Father, gave the Spirit unto Jesus without measure. So he was full, amen? All right, so we know Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost, amen? That's no question. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 now. Acts chapter 2. Hannah, do you mind reading? Are you up to it? No, all right. Let me move over here. Despina, Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. We're familiar with the scriptures. The day of Pentecost, Acts 2 and verse 4. So who was filled? Okay, so we know Jesus was filled. We know the apostles are filled. Oh, it must be something only for the elite, right? It's something only for the elite to be filled. Well, we read about David. We read about Jephthah. We read about Gideon. We read about Samson. Ungodly, wicked Samson getting filled with the Spirit. Now, can we read Ephesians 5:18 again? Ephesians 5:18. And let's get Hannes, Ephesians. We already read it, but let's read it again. And let's see who the filling of the Holy Spirit is for. Ephesians 5 and 18, Hannes, please. Believers. So, I move this thing to the thought of you worship the person of Jesus Christ. Secondly, Romans chapter 12, verse 6. If you want to be filled and stayed filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to want a biblical purpose for the Holy Spirit in your life. Romans 12 and verse 6 and 7. And let's see, Amanda, please. Romans chapter 12, speaking of spiritual gifts here, 12, 6 and 7. Are seven gifts there, and they are given by who, Amanda? They are given to us by the Holy Spirit for what purpose? For my benefit? They're for service, aren't they? And if God wants me to preach, preach. If God wants me to minister, serve. If God wants me to teach, teach. If God wants me to rule, rule with diligence. If God wants me to give with simplicity. Amen? So the filling of the Holy Spirit, let me just say this. Let me use an example. All right. Paul. Haven't used you as an example. No, you can sit there. But the example I'm thinking of, Paul could say, I want to preach. So now I'm going to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit so I can preach. That's a noble prayer. But maybe Paul's not called to preach. Turn it around. Want the filling of the Holy Spirit so that you can do whatever He wants you to do. See, we're very selective in what we allow God to do with us. When if you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll never fight God with whatever He wants you So want, have a purpose in being filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled so that I can do something for God. Now that's just fundamental. Dan, you and I, we get up here to preach. Believe me, you know what I'm praying? Dear God, please fill me. Oh God, please fill me. Oh God, don't let me get up there and make a fool of you. Amen. But I do that because the filling of the Holy Spirit is for a purpose. But if you don't know God's purpose, get filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can do whatever He asks you to do, whether it's playing the piano or whether it's anything. Want a biblical purpose for the Holy Spirit in your life. Don't try to tell God what you want to be. I guess that's what I was trying to say there. And then want the... No. Be filled with the Holy Spirit for a purpose. Want to be used of God. Third, let me make sure if that's all I want to say. Most people believe that God fills a believer so that they feel better about themselves. Isn't that right? Did you hear what I just said? Most people believe that God fills them with the Spirit so that they feel better about themselves. I read their websites. God wants you to be a success. It is an abomination. But it's all about me. That's all of their Christianity is all about. It's all about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit may not make me feel any better about myself. As a matter of fact, what do we learn that the Holy Spirit does? He humbles us, convicts us, convinces us of sin, breaks us, so that He can use us. Amen. Third, make sure that's all I wanted to be able to say there. Yeah. Willingly put up with whatever God's will is for your life. That's a big word. Would you agree? What does yield mean? I love that. Give way. But let me use Brother Tony, if I could use you. See, I might be strong enough, Brother Tony. Dan will beat me. All right. Now, Tony, you've heard of a give way, haven't you? You've heard of the little boy who was told to sit down. All right, use the illustration. When God begins to put pressure on you and says, I need you to go here. Now, He's pushing against me already. Now, back up. You're going to sit down there. I want you to... All right, no big job. To yield is the Holy Spirit begins to put pressure and say, just sit here. And you know what we do? We say, why? What are you going to do now? What's going to happen next? You know, what are you going to ask me to do? Huh? And all he did was say, just sit. Amen? Stand up again. I'll do it again. This is deep. The Holy Spirit comes along and says, I need you to sit right there. That is yielding. Now another one. Come up here. I'm the Holy Spirit for the moment. Tony, there's going to be 5 or 6 guys on Friday night who have no idea how to have the victory over sin in their life. And as hard as it's going to be, I need you to get up there. I need you to preach Christ. Would you do that for God? What does yield mean? To give in. You understand? Brother Tony, I love you now. And I know it's hard for you. I know he's an enemy of yours. I know you vowed that you'd never talk to him again, but I'm laying him on your heart right now. And I want you to go to him. And as much as you may grit your teeth, I want you to give him the gospel. Tell him that you've been praying for him, and that you love him, and you want him saved, and you give him the gospel. What should he do? Yield. That's, if you want the filling of the Holy Spirit, you will never be filled as long as you're still back there and he can't even set you down. Amen? He will never take you through to the real battles until you have learned to just instantly yield when he puts the pressure on. Amen? Thank you. Go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Who's next? Miss Allison.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice.
A what?
That you present your bodies a living sacrifice.
All right. Now, does God want us dead? Does God want us dead? No, He'd like a living sacrifice. Amen. So a living sacrifice, going back to our illustration, is when I may disagree with God, and yet I what? I yield. That's a living sacrifice. I may disagree with God, that I have no idea what I'm doing when I'm behind this pulpit, but I yield. I may disagree with God that I don't think he'll get saved. But I yield. You see, we don't comprehend. What is a living sacrifice? It means dying, doing what God, spiritually speaking, doing what God asks you to do. It is rarely easy doing what God asks you to do. Keep going. You will never prove what God's will is until you yield to it. Amen?
Amen?
See, we think, well, I've got to get training. Yes, you do. Well, I've got to get better at it. Yeah, amen. That's all fine. Growing, maturing. But you're never going to prove that God's will was perfect unless you do it. It's yielding to it. It is giving way. Let him have his way with thee. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got to be willing that when he says stop, you stop. When he says go, you go. When he says sit, you sit. When he says preach, you preach. When he says humble yourself and say you're sorry, you say you're sorry. When he says give it to him, you give it to him. Amen. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you do whatever he says. That's what it means to be filled. You see, we wait for the filling of the Holy Spirit so that we have the ability to submit and to yield. No. You yield, and then you get the filling of the Holy Spirit. Did you understand what I just said? Fourth, last point. Protect the filling. If you're going to be filled with the Spirit, you need to protect that. Because do you know how fast you can blow it? Samson blew it, didn't he? He's falling asleep on his girlfriend's lap, and she's getting ready to cut his hair. He's blowing the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Psalm 51 and verse 10. Psalm 51 and verse 10. Brother Eric, please. Wow. So can you get a wrong spirit even though you're saved? Wow. So there becomes a time in a Christian's life where you become aware, you know, I've got a wrong spirit. All right. So the first thing you need to do if you're going to start protecting the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life when God starts to fill you is make sure your heart is right. Make sure your heart, create in me a clean heart, oh God. It's personal holiness. I'm just going to rapidly go through these right hearts. A right heart. You say, I don't have the words. I don't have the ability to preach. I don't have the ability to witness to somebody. I always stumble over my words. I'm always afraid, Kathy, that I'm going to say the wrong thing. I never finish a sentence. You know what God is concerned with? Your heart. Not with your performance. Amen? Protect your filling means having a right heart. Secondly, go to Ephesians 5. We'll spend our time now and we'll finish up in Ephesians chapter 5 where we started. But verse 11, Ephesians 5 and verse 11. Mona, if you wouldn't mind, Ephesians 5 and verse 11. You need not only have the right heart, but you ought to have the right fellowship, the right friends, the right people that you hang around with. Ephesians 5, 11.
Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them.
Wow. Fellowship. What does fellowship mean? All right, association is a little bit sterile. Give me another word. What'd you say, Mona? Okay, spending time with you, getting closer, getting warmer. Help me out. What's a fellowship? I'm sorry, I got too many words. Say it, Martin. All right, there's communication, but it's still dry.
Mingling.
It's mingling. All right, that's a 1970s word. Yes, ma'am?
Hang around with other Christians.
Well, now you're saying who we ought to hang around with, but we call it, the modern 80s term was hanging, but hanging around with. But give me fellowship. What's the word fellowship mean to you, Brother Dennis? Shh, shh, shh.
You're not talking about that. I'm taking this together.
Togetherness, okay, but I'm still looking for something. All right, your company, enjoying the company of, what'd you say, Sean? Okay, I'm looking for the word, who are your friends? Who do you lean upon to encourage you and to give you guidance? That's fellowship. That's why we have a church fellowship. That when we come, you say, I'm down. Let everybody else pick you up. I'm discouraged. Let Kathy encourage you. Amen. Come, you say, I'm really discouraged. That's what a fellowship is for. It's who you lean upon. Amen. It's who you draw your enjoyment from and have no fellowship with the internet at certain directions or with the television at certain hours. Have no don't get your joy from whatever is on television. Get your joy from right fellowship. Amen? Amen. Protect the feeling with right fellowship. If you're walking and say, man, it's so dry, I'm so empty, I keep praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit, but you're still hanging with the old friends. Still, the buddies keep asking you to keep going for the drink. And you keep spending time and hours with them, and you're not at church. It's going to be hard to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You may get filled on a Sunday, and then you find out why you run dry on Monday. Third, right fellowship. The third thing is right priorities. 5:16, Marlene. Ephesians 5 and verse 16. 16, yeah, 5:16.
In giving the time, because things are evil.
Now, this is funny. Should we have wise management of time? Yes, we should. But he doesn't just say manage it. What does Paul say it is called? Oh, yeah. I lost a lot of time, wasted a lot of time. I need to make up for that lost time. I need to be busier now than I was last year in my life. If I'm a new Christian, I ought to be doubling my efforts. I shouldn't be slowing down now that I'm saved. And you hath he what? Quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. How much effort you put into the world, I would put double in for God. Whatever money you used to spend on drink, you ought to double it in tithe and offering, serving God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Redeeming the time means me and trying to make up for lost time. It's like you fall in a race. Everybody else has kept running. You know what you need to do? You need to redeem the time. You need to double your efforts. If you want the filling of the Holy Spirit, this whole portion of the chapter is about the filling of the Holy Spirit. Right priorities. If you're just, and everybody needs downtime. Everybody needs just the time. Amen. But you know, too many of us spend umpteen hours. Redeem the time. If you want to protect the Holy Spirit gave you a filling. Not so that you just relax. He gave you a filling to do something. So do with all your might. Amen. And if you are using what God's filling, he will keep filling. Does that make sense? All right. Fourth, right heart, right fellowship, right priorities, right feeding. Strange, but it works. 5:18, we've already read it. Let's read it again. Paul.
And read on from the point where it is excess. But be filled with the Spirit.
Why do most people turn to drink? To forget? Okay, to cope. It's what they're feeding a black hole. Amen? They're trying to find something that makes them feel better. I need to have right feeding. Amen? If you're going through a low valley, you don't turn to drink to get you through it, should you? Who do you turn to, Brother Dan?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. You ask for God to fill you, to get you through. Amen? My point is right feeding. And that may mean going fasting for a while and say, I just need to fast so that I get full of the Holy Spirit. That is something that ought to be a possibility in your mind. That you say, I've been feeding myself with the flesh. Now I want to feed myself with the Spirit of God. Protect your filling with right feeding. Verse 19, Brother Leo, chapter 5 and verse 19, right music now. Amen. So if I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, should be singing. I think every Christian ought to be singing every moment they're awake. Honestly. I mean, maybe not verbally outside, but there ought to be a song in your heart. If there's none but bitterness and anger and complaining and nagging, where are you, Hannah? If there's only that on there, there's no filling of the Holy Spirit. Would you agree? But you want to protect the filling? Make sure you've got right music, encouraging you, keeping your heart lifted. And you may not have an iPod, you may not have a CD player, but you've got a hymnal that you've heard enough hymns from, you ought to be able to remember something to lift your heart and to keep that filling full. One more. Ephesians 5, 20 and 21. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Drunk with wine.
Excess. It's not that the consumption of the wine, or is the excess in the wine?
Yes, the wine. Though isn't, see, most people think that drunkenness comes from be not drunk with wine, where it is excess. The excess is in the drunkenness, which is not true. The word sentence is, be not drunk with wine, which wherein is excess. The wine is excessive, as it is. You start touching the wine, and it gets you drunk. It's not that, well, I can handle three. No, you shouldn't handle one, okay? I tell this to everybody about drink. You may be able to handle, you probably, your body weight, and as ugly as you are, you could handle pints and not affect you. Probably. Now, you've been off of it for a while, so it might. But somebody who's drank, it takes a lot to make them drunk, amen? They had to sin and get drunk in order to get from being drunk when they drank the first time. See, somebody says, well, I don't get drunk when I drink. You did. So don't sit there and tell me, well, now I don't get drunk. No, you crossed the line a long time ago. Cut it all out. Because if my wife picked up a glass of Chardonnay, cooking sherry, and took a little drink here. Yep. She would be laughing and on the floor. She would have to have a quarter glass and she would not be allowed to drive. Amen? Because wine has the excess, not the drunkenness. Now, verse 20 and 21, let's finish this up. Who did I have? Miss Patricia, 20 and 21. Last one, we have right heart, right fellowship, right priorities, right feeding, right music, but right attitude. What is the first thing listed? Giving thanks. For how many things? Say it again, for all? All things. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. A right attitude. And verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Would you say that's a right attitude? Would you say that's a necessary attitude? If you want to protect the filling of the Holy Spirit. And some of you have experienced knowing that you were giving the gospel out, and as you were giving the gospel out, God was helping you. You were saying things you didn't know you knew. You were finding passages of Scripture that you'll never find again. And you knew God was all over you. Amen? Wouldn't you like to keep that? Wouldn't you like to be able to live there? Then have the right attitude that is constantly thanking. I'm just going to say it. You have to force yourself to be thankful. It is not a natural Western thing. You go to the Philippines, and they're grateful for anything. You go to some places in the world, there's an attitude of thankfulness that they have that we white honkies don't. And we have to force ourselves to have an attitude of thankfulness. And what's the other thing? We have to force ourselves to have an attitude of submission. Because that is integral to keeping the filling of the Holy Spirit. To have it at extended periods of time. Amen. Here's a challenge. I think it's three things. Number one, Look, when you're reading your Bible, look now. From now on, I want you to start noticing how many times the Holy Spirit is there. Look for when the Holy Spirit filled somebody, was working on them, was humbling them, was using them. Notice in your Bible the working of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, look for why God was doing that. Why was God filling them? Why did the Holy Spirit come upon them? And then third, ask God to fill you for such a purpose. Ask God, say, God, this is not written just so that it's in a book and taking up space. It was written for my admonition. It's for my comfort. Let's all stand. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, I think we just touched the hem of the garment. We're used to storytelling, and I could tell lots of stories about the Holy Spirit, but I want to hunger for the Holy Spirit from your word. I pray that we would look into the Bible and see the real heroes of the faith were men and women who yielded, who, though it cost them everything, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they accomplished the impossible. And in this day and age, we have so many things against us. Lord, would we in this room, would we as a church yearn to be filled with the Holy Spirit and yearn to stay filled with the Holy Spirit? That we wouldn't let our normal music and our normal environment defile the sweet Holy Spirit of God. Would we fear losing the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life? Would we start to realize that we can have victory over every sin in our life if we just walk in the Spirit? We won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. This is the most fundamental power in a Christian's life when it comes to struggling with sin. It all falls back to how much the Holy Spirit has of me and of all of us. And dear God, I pray that we would realize we're not talking about a power, we're talking about a person who wants to fill us, who wants to occupy us from top to bottom, who wants to inflate us and fill us with himself. Because if we're not being filled with the Holy Spirit, we will be filled with another spirit. And we need to fear that. And we need to run from that. Lord, I thank you for the day that I was saved. I was saved by the Spirit of God. And anything that's ever happened in my life has been because of his work in my life. But more than anything, the Holy Spirit wants to fill me. Because then he has me. Lord, I pray that we would want to be filled. I'm tired of nibbles and bites and bits and pieces. I want to be filled. I pray this true in every life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's